are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Good morning, Mission Point. It is so good to be here. It's been a long time coming for me and just grateful to jump in. All the formalities and the things that we've done this morning are important and I'm honored, but I'm also ready to dive in. So like Scott said, we are going to jump right back into this series, this anchored series. Scott, Rick, Michael, they've all done such a great job leading through this season, continuing to open God's word. The elders have been praying behind the scenes. The staff have been working and digging in and doing such great work for all this time. So it's been really good. So we're gonna jump right back in. If we haven't met, my name is Rob. I get to be one of the pastors here. If you're new, I would love to meet you. There's actually a little meet and greet thing in a couple weeks on a weeknight that we'd love to have you at, July 22nd, Wednesday evening. So come be a part of that. My wife and I will be there. We'd love to meet you. But this anchored series, the last several weeks, we've talked about things like how we're anchored in God's word. We're anchored in community. This idea of being anchored is a good thing. It's got a sort of this positive connotation to it that when the world sort of spins out, when the world is the way the world is, sometimes we need something to anchor us, to tether us, to keep us grounded. And that's a good thing. But the analogy of an anchor can also have a negative connotation. An anchor can sometimes be something that weighs us down. Something that keeps us stuck, something that tethers us to the past, keeping us from moving to the future. And sometimes that can be like an albatross. And I bet you could come up with some things in your own life, anchors in your own life that you go, man, I just, whatever it is I can do, I need to release from that anchor. Maybe it's a bad habit or a tough relationship that's unhealthy. Maybe it's worry, some sort of uncertainty. Maybe it's this like deep anxiety for you that barely lets you get out of bed in the morning. I mean, these are things that tether us, that weigh us down, that prevent us from living the life that God is inviting us into, this life of peace and purpose and truly experiencing the fullness of God. And the question is, we kind of set that up and paint that picture. The question is, like, what do we do? Like, how do we get there? We have these anchors, these weights. Do we just pretend like they're not there? Do we just go, no, it's fine, just don't worry about it? Do we just think really good, positive thoughts? Do we grit our teeth and maybe just try harder, buckle down? Or do we just resign? Do we just sort of throw our hands up and go, this is just the way it is, and maybe one day it'll be better, but not right now. So what we're going to do, I want to look at a passage. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. And this passage is going to give us, I think, some really good tangible things that will help us know, like, what do we do when it comes to this idea of this weight, this anchor that's holding us back? So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses, and then I'll pray and we'll dig into it. So Hebrews chapter 12, we'll start in verse 1. It says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is God's word. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and I do believe this is your word. And I believe that this is a sacred text that can speak deeply into our hearts. I believe that you can transform us through these words. I believe that you can draw us to yourself. I believe that these are true words. So God, would you now give us eyes to see exactly what it is that you want us to see? Would you give us ears to hear what it is that you want us to hear? And would you give us hearts that are wide open now? So we love you, we thank you, and we pray all this now in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Okay, so there's a lot going on here in just three verses. We could do like weeks on these three verses of Hebrews chapter 12. But let me just catch us up real quick, give a little bit of context. This is the book of Hebrews, which is a letter written likely to some early Jewish Christians. And this particular chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, is towards the end of the letter, which means there has been a lot said leading up to this part of this letter. And these three verses, if you look in, what you see is a bit of a theme. It's a running theme. Right at the end of verse 1, it says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." So this is a super common metaphor that you see. If you read through the New Testament, you see this idea of running a race come up over and over again. Paul, one of the great and faithful disciples of Jesus, he uses this running analogy when he's coming to the end of his life. He's saying, "I fought the good fight." He's finished the race and he's kept the faith, is what it says. So you don't have to be a runner to understand a running analogy. This thing called life is like a race, a really long race. And sometimes you're running along in this race and you feel good and you're flying along and it's effortless. And there are other moments along the way that are a challenge. You get tired, that you're just not sure if you can put one foot in front of the other. And that's what's being talked about here. If you look at the end here in verse 3, it says that sometimes life gets hard and there's this risk along the way that we'll grow weary and maybe even lose heart. See, what Hebrews chapter 12 is trying to do is trying to say, listen, I don't want that for you. Followers of Jesus, Christians, I don't want you to become weary, and I most certainly don't want you to get to the point of giving up. It's a somber picture. It's not just tired legs and not being able to run or walk another step. It's a weariness of our souls. It's looking at the world around us and seeing the evil, seeing injustice, hatred, it's seeing the way people treat each other, seeing families torn apart, seeing people lie and cheat and steal to try to get ahead. It's your boss treating you horribly or the crushing blow of a relationship breaking down. Or maybe it's even more personal. Maybe for you, you look around and you look inward and you go, I see my own sin, my own brokenness. I see the way that I drift. I see my own anger. I see my own impatience. You see all of this and your soul grows weary. Sometimes even to the point of throwing your hands up and going, can it even be different than this? See, I remember years ago, as I was just beginning to take up running as like a form of exercise in my life, and I just getting started, and the church I was serving at worked closely with a ministry called Living Water International, where I go around the world and dig freshwater wells, and because unclean, unsafe drinking water is one of the leading causes of disease and preventable death in the world. So this organization doing great things, and so one of the ways that we connected with Living Water is is we joined a whole bunch of people all over the country that would run races where we would endure so that other people who are enduring really hard situations related to unclean water, they didn't have to endure. So we would, really cool stuff. We loved it. But a few years into this running thing, and our church heard of this guy who was taking this idea of endurance to an extreme. Because he was going, I love what Living Water is doing, and I want to raise money, and I want to see to it that I can support them in any way that I can. So what he did is he decided, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on a long run. I mean, Forrest Gump style. I'm going coast to coast. So he did. He started out in Oceanside, California, and he ran to Virginia Beach, Virginia. 2,960 miles in 136 days. Pretty impressive. So we heard about this guy and we were like, man, we got to follow along. So we were kind of tracking his journey and we realized somewhere along the way, he's going right through our city. So we want to connect with him because he would have some people support him all the way through, and different people would pick him up and bring him to their house and feed him and provide any resources that he needs. And then they would also like run with him some of the miles. So as he gets closer, my wife and I were like, oh, we want to connect with Abe. We want to do this. We want to be a part of this. So we got on the schedule and he finished his run one night. We go, we pick him up, we bring him to his house, to our house. We feed him good food and get him some good rest, all that stuff. And then get up the next day and we're like, all right, we're going to run with him. I'll take the morning shift. I'll start in the morning with him. I'll drive him there, drop him off. We'll run together. And then Rachel's going to jump in and she's going to, take a few hours later. So when she shows up, I'm like, I'm feeling pretty good. I want to keep going. I want to keep running with him. Mind you, I had just barely started this running thing. I hadn't been running big, long distances, but I was feeling great. So by the end of the day, running along with Abe, I end up running 22 miles. And I got to tell you, that's not a flex. That is an admission of me being an idiot. I had no business running 22 miles. And here's the thing. As that sort of news spread and people started to find out, Rob ran 22 miles? What in the world? I started getting questions, snickers and questions. And the number one question that people asked me, well, why didn't you just run four more and make it a marathon? And my answer was this every time. Because I couldn't take one more step, let alone four more miles. I was weary. See, this is the picture the writer of Hebrews is painting. This faith journey is like a really long race, and it can be difficult at moments. We can feel weighed down and anchored, and along the way, we can grow weary and sometimes get to the place where we go, I don't know if I can take another step. And the writer is imploring us, please don't get there. It's a long race. Don't get weary. Don't give up. Earlier in verse 1, it says, run the race with endurance, with perseverance. It's another way of saying, keep going. Don't stop. And the hope is right there in the middle of the passage. The hope is run with perseverance. And this is my hope for us as a church. I already said it. This last year, you all have persevered. But the leading of the elders and of the staff and so many people saying, well, let's keep going. We don't just stop. We want to keep pursuing Jesus. And that's my hope, is that wouldn't stop. That we would be a community of faith in Jesus, that no matter what, we continue to run. We continue to move towards the kingdom of God. No matter the difficulties, no matter the triumphs, no matter the highs, no matter the lows, no matter the moments where God seems to break through in amazing ways, or the times where it feels like we're in a desert. The moments where running feels easy, and in the moments where we feel like we can't take another step, that we would keep running with perseverance. But let's get practical now. Because the truth is Hebrews chapter 12, those first few verses are not just a rah-rah speech. There's something deeper. There are some really specific things some practical things that will help us run with perseverance and endurance. How do we actually live that out? So if you look at the passage as a whole, there's a couple of verbs that I want us to pay attention to. Two. First one is we throw off, and the second is we fix our eyes on Jesus. So and it's just to look at those two things. We throw off and we fix our eyes on Jesus. First one is this, throw off. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So what are we throwing off? The verse says, everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, word of caution right up front. When I read that, at first glance, we can read that verse and immediately be sent into a vortex of try harder. This is where you now white knuckle this thing. This is where you now try harder. You grit your teeth and you do whatever it is you can do to live a more holy life. Hear me. I'm not saying we don't have a part in this. I'm not saying that part of the life of following Jesus doesn't include some discipline, doesn't include our part in this of saying, God, I want to be more like you, and I want to take steps in my relationship with you, and I want to take seriously my own sin and my own brokenness. Jesus is indeed inviting us to a life lived differently. We turn from sin. We pursue life and not death. There's discipline and work we have to live out in our faith. But this verse begins to help us understand how does that work? Rather than just trying harder, gritting our teeth, we got to understand how does this work? So we go back to the running analogy. There are things that slow us down and there are things that encourage us along. As a runner, you wouldn't want to wear anything that would weigh you down, right? You're not going to put a big coat on. You're not going to wear more clothes than you should. You're not going to, unless you're like, training really hard and you wear a weighted vest, but you don't want a bunch of weight on you as you're running. So we throw off everything that hinders us, everything that gets in the way of running. And in this, it's really clear. It's the sin that so easily entangles us. It's the brokenness. It's a sobering reality that the sin and the brokenness of this world and in the world around us and in our own lives, this is what hinders us from running the race. It's the ultimate weight and anchor. So yes, we throw it off. That word is an intentional word used by this writer. It's a word of intensity. I mean, it could have been really casual. It could have been like, so anything that burdens you and easily entangles you, the sin that weighs you down, just set it aside. Just kind of push it over there. Brush it off. Toss it away. It's not what it says. It says throw it off. It's a word of intensity. Get rid of it. Anything of excess, get it off of you. But the question is, how? Because I'm telling you, we immediately go to white knuckle. We immediately go to try harder. What is it that we can do to get rid of this? And the irony of the whole thing is when we go down that road, it's a weight. It's an anchor. And it ends in shame and frustration. So yes, if you try it on your own, this is where it will lead us. But remember, there's another part to the picture of running. There are some things that slow us down, some things that weigh us down, some things that anchor us, and there are some things that encourage us along. In this passage, the writer says, and this is a part that is oftentimes well known, that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. This is referring to the chapter before, chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, where you'll see this long list of heroes of the faith. People like Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Rahab. I mean, it's quite the list. And these are the folks who we are to think about when we're running the race. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. In a way, it's as if they're cheering us on. And what does that mean? How can that happen? Well, they've lived their lives faithfully pursuing God. Were they perfect? Oh, no. No. Go read their stories. Far from perfect. But they were faithful. Time and time again, they looked to God as the one true God. They worshiped Him. And it's as if they're saying, listen to me now. You can keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. I know you've messed up. I know the world is broken. I know there's injustice. I know there's sin that permeates everything. Keep running the race. The great cloud of witnesses is saying to each of us on our faith journey, keep going. Don't stop. I know it's hard. And here's how you can do that. It's the second verb. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is where the running analogy breaks down, because guess what? You want to keep running the race of faith? It's not about training harder or getting stronger, or trying harder. The ultimate weight and anchor around you cannot be taken off by mere might or strength. This is not just about trying harder. It's why it's not gritting our teeth and willing ourselves to do better and be better. It's fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now listen, I understand. On a day like today, it's a fun day to celebrate, and it's the start of a new chapter of this story that God's been writing here at Mission Point for a long time. We've got this new lead pastor, and for so many, yes, but there are some, I know this. There are some of you that are sitting here today going, what's this guy going to say? Like, where's he going to go? What's kind of going to be his thing? And you're quietly evaluating it. You're quietly wondering. And let me just tell you, this couldn't be a better moment. This couldn't be a better passage to look at, because guess what? Guess what we're going to look at? Guess what we're going to say? Guess where we're going to go back to week after week after week after week? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's going to be the imploring this community, each of us, to look at each other and encourage each other to say, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Or more simply put, He is the one who's the founder of our faith. He is the one who brings our faith to completion. The idea of fixing our eyes on Jesus is a picture of looking at the work Jesus did on the cross. He took every last bit of the sin and brokenness of this world and in our own lives, and He bore that on His shoulders. And in turn, what He offers us is not try harder. He offers His grace. He says, I'll take that for you. I'll bear the weight. I'm the only one that can help you throw off that which entangles us. It's Jesus. It's Jesus and receiving His grace. Jesus says it Himself this way in Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, He's acknowledging it. This journey is a long race. And we get easily entangled. And we get worn down. And we want to give up. And Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He's saying it's not about trying harder. My yoke is not trying harder. For I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. That's what we're longing for, isn't it? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, even Jesus acknowledges this weariness sets in. We become burdened and weighed down. Our sin and the sin of this world, it crushes us. And the answer is come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's the invitation. Come to him with whatever it is that you're anchored down by. Come to him with your sin. Come to him with your burdens. Come to him with your fear, your frustration, your questions, your anxiety, your uncertainty. Come to him. You might even be here and you're like, I'm not even a Christian. I'm just here checking this thing out. The invitation is come to Jesus. Come to him. And when we come to him, he will so tenderly yet definitively help us throw everything off that hinders us. He removes the anchor. He restores us. He forgives us. He makes us right with him and he gives us his peace. And then we keep running the race. The faith journey of following Jesus. And he'll continue to do the deep work in our hearts. Now, here's the reality of the long race. It drags on, doesn't it? Along the way, we lose focus. And then we're called to cycle back, right? Cycle back to the place where as we become weary, as we begin to lose heart, we cycle back to the place of trusting, the repetition of fixing our eyes on Jesus. We need to be reminded over and over and over because we're a forgetful bunch, right? It's part of the reason why we gather together every week to open God's word, to pray, to be in community with one another so that we can look at each other and encourage each other and remind each other, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't stop even as you're growing weary. Don't stop. So I remember years later, after this 22-mile idiotic run, I actually did train for a marathon. This is the flex, okay? I trained for a marathon. I ran a marathon. And I remember getting to mile 22. And as I'm passing mile 22, I'm like, ooh, I've never run this far before. Into mile 23, into mile 24. And I'm telling you, I'm getting weary. Like, I don't know if I can keep going. And as I'm running along, out of nowhere, this guy, there's kind of a lot of traffic of people running, but not a ton. And this guy like elbows me. And I'm like, well, I don't know. He's probably tired and wobbling around or whatever. Give him a little grace. And he elbows me again. And I'm like, okay, calm. And so I kind of run this way to kind of get out of his way. And then he elbows me again. I'm like, all right, this enough. And I'm turning and I'm about to give it to him to go, knock it off, man. This is hard for me too. And I look over and he was elbowing me because he was trying to get my attention. And all he did was just point to the side of the road. And I look over and what I see on the side of the road are three people going nuts, jumping up and down and cheering. It was my wife and my two little kids. And they finally, in the midst of this whole long race, they found me and I ran over there and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that they found me and they were like, Dad, you can do it. We're so proud of you. Look what you're doing. You're almost there. And I looked at him and I cried and I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Yes. And then I had this thought in the middle of all of this, 24 miles in, delirious. I looked at him and I was like, I'm going to finish a marathon. And I kissed him and I ran on and I finished the race. Mission point. As you go today now, hear me now. Run the race with perseverance, with endurance. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You can do it. You can keep going. We need each other. We've got to look at each other and cheer each other on when it gets really hard. We've got to remind each other. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and it is him who will help us throw everything off and keep running. And then, we walk out of these doors into a world that is weary, who is desperate for some hope. And we go and we start slinging that hope to other people. And we start reminding everybody around us, listen, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Let me introduce to you this Jesus. When the world is crushing us and the burden is almost too much to bear, let me point you to Jesus. So what we're going to do now is we're going to worship. Because see, we prayed, we've opened God's word, we've worshiped, we're going to worship some more to once again, in unison, sing songs that remind us of Jesus. It's a way of fixing our eyes upon Jesus. That's what we do when we worship. That's what we do. So I'm going to invite you now. Would you stand? And let's worship. Let's be reminded of the goodness of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.